Hey guys, I'm Trent.
And I'm Garrett.
And we're Critically Awesome.
Action! Say what again! Say what again!
You're gonna see some serious shit.
I'll be back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Critically Awesome! Critically Awesome!
Welcome back, Critically Awesome crew. This is Season 3, Episode 12. We had a lot of fun discussing our favorite romantic comedies with our beautiful wives. Make sure to go and check it out at criticallyawesome.net or on your favorite podcasting app. This week, we are joined in the Critically Awesome virtual studio of awesomeness by Melissa Talon and Bree Betson. We will be discussing our favorite and scariest horror movies that we like to watch during the spooky season. So, Bree and Melissa, how are we doing tonight?
Good. Tired.
Doing well.
awesome. Well, this is going to be a great show. Garrett, how about you say hi? You haven't said anything yet.
Hi. How's everyone doing today? Tonight? When we're recording this thing. I don't know. I don't know what time it is.
Whenever
time
you're
is irrelevant. Time is like confetti, Garrett.
Yeah. It's only relevant if you actually watch it.
Or if you watch the show we're referencing.
Bada bing, bada boom. All right.
What show's that,
Melissa?
All right,
let's get
It's The Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, you slime. I didn't get to watch it.
That's so your fault. Good. It's been out for like 4 years.
I know.
I just got the nerve to start watching it, so.
It's my favorite TV show of all time, but I think we're getting ahead of ourselves.
We are. All right, so sponsorships. Go ahead and the best way to... Oh, we actually have to announce who our Patreons are. And one of them is actually sitting here right next to me, Miss Melissa Talon. She is in the Critically Awesome tier.
Hello.
And as well as Mr. Sam Frank. These two are our Critically Awesome tiered Patreons. And you can support us through our Patreon by going to our website, criticallyawesome.net, and clicking the support tab, and the red Become a Patreon button is right there. We have two tiers. There's the awesome tier, which is $1 a month, and that gets you a shout out on every episode for on Critically Awesome. And then on the Critically Awesome tier, which is the $4 tier, you get a shout out on the next episode, and you get to listen to every new episode before anyone else does. On top of that, every time I stream, I will give you guys a shout out. There's a little picture that's got your names on there. So you guys are the very first thing that people see and the very last thing people see while I am streaming live.
Heck yeah.
So that's a heck of a deal. What do you think about it, Melissa? You're one of our Patreons.
I mean, it's totally worth it. I really just love hearing you guys talk all the time.
We have such cool crisp voice.
Like, I never hear you guys talk.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, I had a teacher one time who told me I had the perfect perfect voice for radio and the perfect face for radio too. So,
aww. And you know it's true when it's coming from a teacher. So
I know, right? Teacher's like, you got a great face for radio. I was like, wow, thanks. Oh, wait,
face
what?
For radio. I was still hung up on the
race.
Yeah.
It's okay.
The first thing he said.
It was by mistake. Garrett, what else do we got here?
Well, you can go to, where are we doing here? Oh yeah, Podcast Mo. If you want your favorite podcasts that are in the state of Missouri, you can find a lot of great podcasts on podcastmo.com. And like I said, it's a lot of your favorite podcasts that are across the state of Missouri. We had some really great people throughout the past year or so be our guests. And so just go check that out. And like I said, it's one-stop shop for podcasts right around the state of Missouri.
Sick, bud. I'm going to have to check that out. Never heard of it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I never heard of that either. That's really cool.
Yeah,
and there's actually several different websites. There's not just for Podcast Mo, but you can go to like, if you like live in a different state, you can go to podcast, whatever your state's initials are, and it'll most likely be there. Podcast CA for California, you know, and then Podcast cool. USA, and you can find all of them.
Yeah.
Nice. Support those local people.
All right, all right. We're going to roll right on into our at-home recommendations.
Okay.
You didn't write anything, but we'll go ahead. I didn't know I was supposed to. That's okay. I'll forgive you this time. anyways, basically just whatever you watched this past, just recently, or whatever you recommend.
Oh, we don't have time. Mm. I watch a lot. I'll try and narrow it down. Excuse me while I pull up
We'll do you last.
Just things home recommendations are just things that you think the audience would love to watch.
Oh, man, I have so many opinions. Everyone's going to love this. Okay, you guys go ahead.
Bree, we'll go ahead and start with you.
Okay, so what I have been watching lately to get into that spooky season, mainly the Haunting series. I had a work from home day the other day. We were just doing paperwork, and I watched the entire Haunting of Hill House season on my own, just by myself in my apartment.
Oh my god.
So good. It's so good.
So Melissa and I watched it virtually together.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice.
I watched it last year for the first time, and then I had to rewatch it because it's so incredible. I've been watching Bly Manor. I'm only halfway through Bly Manor so far.
Pretty good.
So that's what I've been watching. And then I'm also... Oh.
Sorry. So I don't know if you know, but we have a critical potato scale. All right. So it's from 0 to 100. 0 being the potato famine of in Ireland. And then the Irish potato famine, and then 100 is Trenton. Stop it. 100 is twice baked potato, the most delicious potato you've ever had.
Ooh. Oh man!
With like chives and bacon and cheese and sour cream.
Man, now I'm just hungry. Is it not too late to make baked potatoes?
No, it's never too late.
Doctor told me. I would say, man, that's a huge range.
Well, you've got
92.3
for the whole series.
Just the first season, right now. Okay. Bly Manor, I'm only halfway through, and like you know, the first in Haunting, it took like halfway through the season to like really kick up a notch and like really start explaining things. So I'm sort of like waiting for that like drop for Bly Manor still. So
it gets there.
It's
pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's good.
It's a great series.
Really is. That's my favorite series of all time. Yeah. I've probably rewatched Hill House upwards of 20 times.
Oh shit, girl.
Yeah, I really love it. It's a problem. I've been hounding him for like 2 years to watch it, and he finally did, and I was like, yes.
I felt the excitement through the text messages that we were sending.
It's true.
It blew me away because like before, like a year ago, I hated anything scary. Hated it. Could not handle it. Yep. Slept with the lights on, all that shit. And then my boyfriend started getting me into horror. And so he showed me Haunting of Hill House. And I was like, oh my God, I've never seen something more beautiful be like scary. So,
yes. And it's such a good stepping stone back into horror, too. Like, it tells this really beautiful story. It's got this great, just cinematography, the nuances in the script, just everything about it is perfect. I could literally spend this whole podcast just talking about Hill House.
I know.
Same. Like my favorite episode of TV ever is episode 6. They do it in 5 shots. It's incredible. If they messed up, they had to go back to the top and start again. The first shot itself is like 28 minutes long. It's a play.
It's all one shot. It's so impressive. Absolutely wonderful. And then the transition to like different scenery all within that one shot. Oh, so beautiful.
Yes. And then every single shot, whenever they're doing a flashback or a flash forward, is connected. So, you know, like if adult Theo is grabbing an apple, then young Theo is grabbing an apple. Or if a older Hugh is saying, I can fix this, and they flash back to young Hugh, he's saying, I can fix this. In every single flashback shot, they have that. It's just, it's amazing. And then like,
so good.
Not to spoil it for you, Garrett, but like whenever in the last episode, I think, whenever they're in the Red Room, and they're having the flashbacks or the fake flashbacks, the fake memories, all of the different people that are involved. So like Lee for Steven or Trish for Theo, they all talk in Poppy's vernacular because Poppy is the one narrating the story.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah.
It's so impressive. Mike Flanagan, the director.
So good.
You're going to hear me bring him up a little bit later too, but he is my favorite horror director.
So good. I won't say anything about Bly Manor. I want you to finish it, but anyway.
I'm getting there.
Keep going. You got this.
The other show that I have been watching that is also sort of spooky is Dark. Have you guys heard of this one? It's a German
same.
It's a German TV show. So it's all in German. I have to watch it with subtitles, which adds a whole nother layer of confusion onto it. But it's sort of like about time travel.
Oh,
and it's got like some spooky elements, but it's set in Germany in like the 80s and then current day and then in like the 50s. So it's very well done. It's sort of Stranger Things-esque. That's like sort of spooky, not too bad, but it's well done as well.
Very cool.
A little mind fucky, but you know.
Love that.
Anything good is. True. Oh, and then my other last one is Scream. I've watched this for the first time this year. Well, actually, I watched it when I was 7 years old and then rewatched it for the first time this year. What an amazing movie. Absolutely hilarious. I think probably the funniest horror movie that I've seen so far.
Now
it's really good. Go ahead, Garrett.
I want to say, now is that also because of, you think it's funny because have you seen any of the scary movies? Like a Scary Movie 1.
So I've never seen.
So that's the thing.
I've never
like,
seen scary movies.
Stuff like that ruin.
The scary movies.
Like Scream. I think like. Was
the
that?
Ring.
Ring. Rose. Is it Rose House or something like that? Or House.
The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
There's that one. But then there's also another one where it's in the mansion. The Haunted Mansion, essentially. I can't remember what it's called. But that's like Scary Movie 2.
Now it's going to drive me crazy.
It's like the Rosebud House or something like that. But
that sounds familiar.
Like The Conjuring?
No. This one came back, like, it was out, like, in the late 90s, early 2000s, I think.
I'll have to think about it.
But, you know, what's really interesting, though, about Scream is that it's, like, one of the first movies that it killed, like, its main, like, character in the first, like, 10 minutes of the movie.
Poor Drew. That
was crazy. I was shocked. I was like, okay, we're following this girl's like story. And then all of a sudden she's dead. I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck?
Right.
It's crazy that they wrote a spoof off of Scream because Scream is like pretty much a spoof off of like all of his other films, like Wes Craven films. I know. Like, anyways.
It's Wait, so that's well a Wes done. Craven film? Where have I been?
Yes.
Dude.
Yes.
Today I learned. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
And I love it because he even like throws in a line about himself in that movie. She's like, God, this isn't some like Wes Craven film.
That's fun.
So well done.
Wow. Okay. I'm new to the community. Anyway, okay. Scream. Yeah, that was the first movie I watched back into my stepping stone of spooky season. Like you, I had pretty severe anxiety. I used to love horror when I was younger. And then when I had my first baby, I had postpartum anxiety that became firsthand anxiety. It like never went away. And last year after Hill House, I was like, okay, I can do this. And then I knew Scream wasn't super scary. So I decided to go and watch Scream. And you're right. It is hilarious, but it is horrifying at the same time. But also Matthew Lillard has never been so good. Like, chef's kiss to Matthew Lillard and oh my God, that other guy that played Jughouse's dad in Riverdale.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Skeet Ulrich, is that his name?
Don't know.
Okay,
I didn't
well
watch Riverdale.
Well, all of the Scream diehards are going to be like, "You swine. don't at me."
At her.
Okay. Sorry, just had to throw that in.
No,
it's really
good. So, Brie, what would your critical potato scale of Dark and Scream?
Ooh, Dark. This is tricky. I'm gonna go with like a solid like 75. It's very good, but you have to pay very close attention. There is a lot of time jumps, and it gets very confusing. And I've already lost track of so many characters. but it is very intriguing, and I keep watching and I keep watching. I need to start the second season. And then Scream, just out of pure hilarity, it's going to go with like an 85. It's absolutely amazing. My sister and I have a rating scale for horror movies, and like our number one is like rom-com level, and our number 10 is shit my pants can't sleep level. And I rated Scream a 2 because it was like, it's just above a rom-com, but so well done.
Since we're speaking That's of that right now, do you want to talk about your little bit of your podcast that you are starting up with your sister?
Yeah. So one of the reasons I sort of got into scary films recently was my sister and I, who are notorious in our family and friends for being absolute scaredy cats, decided to start a horror podcast with two girls who know nothing of horror films to talk about horror films that we're watching. And then we sort of discuss how we feel about them and how scary we are, we were of them. It's called Horror in Pink. It should drop in probably 2021. So we're getting that going soon. We have about 7 episodes backlog, so give us a little bit more time. But if you want to check out Twitter, our Twitter is at Horror in Pink. You can like listen for updates there. We'll try to get some more information about that. So our shtick is that we watch horror films so that you don't have to. So.
I love that with my whole heart. I'm following you on Twitter or right now.
You know what's funny, please, Garrett, do. Is she's like, we've only got 7 episodes backlogged, and we're like week by week.
Give us a little bit more time. We started this, I think, in June. So it's taken us this long to get 7 episodes. We have to give ourselves a little break in between each horror film, because like some of these were like we've watched, like we can't sleep after we watch it. So we have to like wait a couple weeks before we can like get up the courage to watch another horror film. But
I get that.
We actually did a little mini episode about Haunting of Hill House, the first episode. Oh, so good.
Nice. Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Definitely, watch for updates.
Yeah, watch out for any of your favorite podcasting apps for that, for sure.
All right. I'll go ahead and do mine, Trent, real quick, since we're on the Haunting of Hill House.
And we're never leaving. Sorry.
No, I want to leave.
The whole episode is about that show.
So I gave it 100 critical potatoes because, like, just like y'all have said, it's beautiful storytelling. Beautiful on both of them. It all wraps up. I mean, the second to last episode of Bly Manor was a little confusing until.
Is it the black and white one?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a little confusing, and you're just like, wait a second. That does not answer any of my questions from the previous episode. What are you doing to me right now, Bly Manor? What is wrong with you? I cannot handle this situation. I need to know what happens, and I need to know it now. But it then eventually gets back to it. That's the best way to do a spoiler-free review on that, I think.
I felt very similarly when I watched Haunting of Hill House. Like, every other episode, I was like, that just added more questions. I don't know how you're going to fix this. So,
but the answer
that makes sense,
so
that he would do that.
Beautifully. Mm-hmm. So like, okay.
Well, what's disappointing is, like, I had to like go to work, and like at one point Melissa's like, oh my god, jump scare ahead. I'm like 2 hours into my job, and I'm like, oh hey, by the way, I stopped watching that, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you have to tell me. I was like, okay, I'm trying to keep him updated, I'm trying to keep him ready, because the first thing he said to me was, I don't want any jump scares. And I was like, oh, don't worry, there's only like one major jump scare.
Scared the shit out of me too.
It's definitely well, and my favorite thing about that particular jump scare, it's with Theo and Shirley arguing in the car, and
yes,
and little Nell, well, not little, but Nell comes out and is, you know, she screams at them. Is they were told that Nell was going to come out at a much later time. So whenever Nell comes out and screams, they were actually scared. And Kate Siegel, who plays Theo, she was pregnant. And so like that whole time that she was filming, you know, her husband, who is Mike Flanagan, had to be like, okay, be scared, but like, be careful, but like, be scared. So a lot of the things that they did, you know, they had to make sure that she wasn't so stressed out that she was going to lose the baby. And then she named the baby Theodora. Sorry.
It's a shame.
Oh my God. That's perfect.
Wrong podcast, my dude.
Still
Man, Garrett, you're really gonna have to catch up with the rest of us.
I know. It's true.
You gotta watch this show.
Listen, it's perfect story. How many times have I given something 100? You know how critical I am about movies. Yeah, that's why I created Critically Awesome.
Not very much.
I hardly ever, and that's this is saying a lot. Haunting of Hill House, while yes, it has its scary moments, is a beautiful and Bly Manor. It's beautifully written. It's beautifully shot. It's kind of I think Hill House is creepier than Bly Manor, like tenfold.
Sure.
There's a lot of like creepy elements about Bly Manor, but it's not scary.
I was actually kind of disappointed in Bly Manor, if we're being honest.
I mean, other than the storytelling, I was too.
Like, it just didn't have the same like feel to it. Mike Flanagan didn't write as much for it, probably because of the baby, or he just didn't want to. But it didn't
Netflix
have
more creative power.
Yeah, it just didn't have the same like feel to it. So I was somewhat disappointed in it, but I still loved it. Where I would give The Haunting of Hill House 100 critical potatoes, I would give Bly Manor like
85.
Makes sense. It was still really good.
One thing I like about it is that, like, they, and I hope they continue to do this in the series, but they use a lot of the same actors.
Yes.
So, like, all the same actor, many of them from Hill House are also playing characters in Bly Manor. And I love these actors. These people are incredible. And so I'm hoping that they continue to do that. They also use the same music in Bly Manor
as they did
in Hill House.
Yes.
It's so beautiful. But there are times where, like, moments in Hill House where that music was just so hauntingly beautiful and fit the moment so perfectly, like, don't quite hit in Haunting of Hill House. It's like not quite what it should be.
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, when you heard that music in Hill House, you're like, oh shit, something bad's about to happen. Hang on, let me get ready and not crap my pants. There was actually times where, like, I sent pictures to Melissa where I was like cuddled up in my blanket going, I did not like that. I did not like that.
That or video of him going, holy shit, why did I do this? And it's like,
I can only watch those movies or that show. I guess Hill House I watched all by myself, which was sort of a dumb thing. But Bly Manor I have to watch with my boyfriend. I have to have him like sitting right next to me, like me clutching onto his hand. I'm like, well, hey, if something scary happens, like, we gotta, you're ready to be like choked to death for Bunny.
I had to watch it in the daytime. And then I couldn't go into my garage for a little bit because there's like really dark corners in the garage. I'm like, there's a fucking ghost over there. There's a ghost over there.
He sent me a message of that too. He's like, you've made me paranoid. Bruh. It's not my fault.
Jesus, is that your entire watch list?
I mean, I'm not going to talk about all of it. You guys can't really see, but just, you know, I'm not going to talk about all of them. I'm going to pick and choose. I want to be prepared.
My wife had just started watching The Walking Dead all over again. And so I'm picking up bits and pieces as I was telling these guys pre-show. This morning we were at, they just got done with Alexandria, and then I get home from work and they're already in Terminus. I'm like, that's like a whole three seasons away. Well, it feels like it's a whole three seasons away. Like, good Lord, woman.
Can't relate. This is actually one show I have never seen.
I give it a 95. I like Walking
Dead.
Don't
say any worse from what I've heard. Like,
okay, so like the first few seasons are fantastic,
and then it just trails off after that.
It's kind of like
anything longer than
Thrones. I think after season 7, I stopped watching it after season 7, and so we're picking it back up and getting back into it. And then I about season 7, I really want to start paying attention because there are story points, and then the progression and character development of all of these characters is just fantastic throughout the entire series itself. Because we've got Rick Grimes, a guy who woke up in the, like, at the very beginning of the zombie apocalypse, that has, you know, he doesn't know what's going on. You know, he finally meets this dude outside the hospital who saves his life. And then he ends up finding his wife and his kid and his best friend. I don't want to get too much into it because it's just too long to try to describe. But, like, I'm kind of excited to see what happens after season 7 because I didn't get to watch it for several reasons. Didn't have cable, didn't really want to wait for it to come out on Hulu, so I kind of lost interest. Plus, I heard all the bad reviews about it happening and stuff like that. But up to season 7, it was like, it's just prime television, and I absolutely loved it. So 95 is a little much. I'd probably give it about a 75. but you know. And then I just started watching Star Trek Deep Space Nine. It's not The Next Generation, like Garrett always says I put on here. I started a new Star Trek series. It's my dad's personal favorite Star Trek series, and I'm trying to figure out why.
Probably what he grew up with.
It's interesting. And no, he grew up with the original Star Trek. You know, I grew up, my formative Star Trek years was Voyager, which I love Voyager. I think Captain Janeway is my favorite captain next to Picard. But, you know, I'm liking the way Captain Sisko is handling a lot of situations. He's strong, but caring. And, you know, and he was like the first, like, truly black captain in the Star Trek universe. So that was kind of like, well, on TV anyways, I'm pretty sure there was more black captains on Star Trek and they just didn't really put any relevance. So it's a lot different than being on a ship versus on a space station because you've got so many different aspects. So it's really interesting. I gave it a 70. I'm going to bump it up to 75. Mostly because I hate a specific alien race in that. And the Ferengi. I cannot stand the Ferengi. And they're like a very prominent like character in that series. And it's just, they're just vile, disgusting, ugly looking creatures. They literally have butt heads. So I'm like, I can't stand the Ferengi. And they're greedy too. So like, they're meant to be revolting, but I can't, ugh.
So I have a question about this.
Yes.
Is this the one with the lightsabers?
Oh, Melissa, just walk away.
I have to throw at least one in.
I've seen a total of 2 Star Trek episodes and beautiful Will Wheaton in them. Ugh, what a heartthrob in the like 80s.
He's still resisting the urge to choke me.
I looked up the Ferengi, and there's a picture of a Ferengi that looks like Donald Trump.
Yeah!
That's fantastic.
When was this show made?
The 90s.
Oh, it could still be on purpose. It could have still been purposeful.
Yeah, true!
He was still a dickbag in the 90s.
Oh, but people wanted him to run for president back then.
We were not as smart, no. Anyway. Ugh. Okay.
Rules of accusation.
Posted a picture of it in our chat. Oh my god, that's amazing.
It literally is a butt head. It with like 4 head. Ears on each side.
Or is it just like overgrown like ear flappage into his forehead?
Ear flappage.
Their ears.
Ear flappage. Imagine cleaning those out. Do they clean ears in space?
I'm pretty sure they do, but they don't have like...
But they don't have Q-tips?
No, they've probably got some specialized like...
They have like a suction like...
Ooh, yuck. He just posted another picture.
Yeah, that's Nog.
What? They have names?
Yeah, they are sentient beings.
Oh my god. His eyebrows are his ears.
That's what I'm saying.
That's gross. Actually a character that's from Deep Space Nine. His name is Nog.
Gross.
And he's the worst.
Hashtag the worst.
Oh, no, Quark. His name is Quark. Sorry. Nog is his brother's son, his nephew, basically. Anyway.
Jeez. Okay. Trek, getting the names all wrong?
Honestly. Man. For a show that none of us have
actually know it at all. Yeah.
There's not even any lightsabers in it.
I hate you.
It's a running joke. I've never seen Star Wars. I've never seen Star Trek.
Oh my god.
You can just ignore
Star Trek. Just watch Star Wars. It's so good.
Well, I've tried. I can't get into it, I'm about to like lose a lot of fans here. Not that I had any, but but anyway, or Lord of the Rings. I've never actually seen Lord of the Rings. You know this.
I still hurt.
Oh my god.
So every time we talk about something, I have to throw in like a misreference. So like, you know, in Star Trek, are there any lightsabers? Anyway, I don't know how he's been my friend for this long.
Well, my question is how him being your friend, how have you not just sat down and watched at least a Star Wars movie?
I think I've he's put it on, but I
several times
I zone out really, really bad, and I don't mean to. That's just what happens, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that's not. We're not here for Star Wars or
no,
Star Trek.
No, we're
or...
always here for Star Wars. Okay.
Is it Halloween? Yeah, is it spooky season?
Well, there's
you Jabba, can make Star Wars.
There's
spooky.
Jabba the Hutt. So yeah.
What does that mean?
I mean,
is that a bar?
No. It's like Pizza Hut, but
if I wasn't more confused, like
I totally missed it because my headphones cut out.
Oh, he said Jabba the Hutt, and I said, "Is that a bar?" Look at that. And he said it was like a pizza
look at the
hut.
Disappointment on his face. Melissa, please go before he has an aneurysm.
That's sad.
I haven't had my time. I have not yielded my time.
No, go ahead. It's your turn now.
Goes over to
Melissa. Oh, is it my
turn? It's your turn, and then I'll go up to you.
Oh.
Yeah, it's your turn to rate your 30 TV shows.
My 30, okay. Well, I'm not going to go through all of them. So obviously we've covered Haunting of Hill House. Long story short, I really love it. 100 critical potatoes. Bly Manor, 70, 75 critical potatoes. I think they could have done better. I've seen, if we're on Mike Flanagan, Gerald's Game. Really,
never seen it.
Really, so good. He uses Carla, the mom from Hill House. She's in it and she's amazing. And then young Hugh, who is also Elliot from ET, plays her dad in Gerald's Game. Yeah. And it's, you know, she's basically just handcuffed to a bed the whole time.
I need to watch this one.
And her husband, not to spoil everything, but her husband dies in the middle of the do. And so she has to try and figure out a way. Nobody knows they're there. They're on vacation. So she has to figure out a way to get out of the handcuffs before she either gets murdered or eaten by a dog that keeps coming in or starves to death. So I can't hear anymore.
It's these headsets. They suck.
Essays, headsets. Okay. Do they suck? They're good now?
I can hear now. Can you?
Barely.
Okay.
I think I might.
I
hate this chair.
So, going on to more Mike Flanagan, Dr. Sleep was really,
so good.
Really well done. I had never actually. It's so good. I don't think he uses. Oh, no. Young Hugh was in that too. He played Jack Nicholson. Yeah.
I could see that. He's got those creepy eyebrows.
Yeah. Well, they totally did him over, and like he looked exactly like Jack Nicholson. And I mean, Jack Nicholson has this one eyebrow wrinkle that goes from ear to ear, and they somehow managed to do that. It was really distracting. I had never actually seen The Shining all the way through. I kept
you don't
falling
need to.
Asleep. And I went back, finished it, and then went back and watched Dr. Sleep again. And I thought it was a really good tribute. And the fact that Stephen King is such a huge Mike Flanagan fan to begin with was really impressive. Like, and the fact that he was satisfied with this movie, because when Stanley Kubrick did it, he was not happy. He did not like the outcome of that movie. Stanley pushed his people too hard. The girl that plays the mom in The Shining lives homeless in a car and has gone absolutely crazy because of how far Stanley Kubrick pushed him. So, Stephen King was more than happy with that one. I give Dr. Sleep 90 critical potatoes and The Shining like
5.
I'll be generous.
I did not like The Shining.
I'll be generous. That little kid was spooky. 40, maybe.
That's probably safe.
Yeah. Let's see. Veering off of Mike Flanagan, but still including Oliver Jackson Cohen, who played Luke
and
in
Leia.
Hill House. I watched The Invisible Man.
yes!
The new one,
yeah. And
with
so first
Elizabeth
of all,
Moss?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So first of all, I'm not, I don't like things that involve windows. It's a phobia, and it was actually caused by a Boxcar Children's book, and then furthered by my father.
Because Melissa's actually a bird.
I
thought you were going to say
a squeaky clean window. It's because
Melissa is a bird. That's why she hates windows.
Movie
Birds.
Oh, Bird Box or the Birds by Alfred Hitchcock.
No, Hitchcock.
If I talk about Hitchcock all night, we will never stop. So going on my weird phobia, there was this Boxcar Children's book that I was reading. They go to Peacock Manor, and they've got a mystery to solve. Well, one of the oldest daughters hears like a scratching. It was not. Reed, get some culture, you swine.
Says the girl who asked if there was lightsabers in Star Trek.
To irritate you, and it worked. Anyway, so she hears this scratching outside her like top floor window, and she opens up her curtains, and there's a face staring at it, at her through the window. And it scared me so freaking bad, I put it down and didn't pick it up for a year and a half. That was the first chapter.
You know, books are bad when they can scare you. Like, yeah. Typically it's all visuals for me, but like, ugh.
And I don't think that was the intention. But then I went home and told my dad. I was in the third grade. I was still going to my Christian private school. And I told my dad about the book. And he was like, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. That must have been so bad. And then a couple of hours later, he tells me. So first of all, we lived in the middle of nowhere. And our closest neighbor was across the pasture. So if our neighbors wanted to come over, they had to cross their pasture of cows and bulls to get over to our house. And so my dad's like, hey, honey, will you look out the window? I think I see something over by your playhouse. So I look outside and my neighbor Brett slams himself against the window. This is the same day. I know, right? So last year, maybe 2 years ago, was the first year I had been able to sleep with windows without curtains or shades down. And that I was able to have my windows open at night without being afraid. So going back to the Invisible Man, there is one shot where they like focus on a window. Ooh. And I was like, absolutely not. This is the reason I can't watch Hush, also by Mike Flanagan. Mm-hmm. And I can't watch it because apparently it's very window heavy.
Yeah.
And I've made a lot of progress. So,
well, you don't want to go backwards.
No, I don't. So I turn it off and I message my sister and I'm like, hey, have you watched this movie yet? Is it very window heavy? And she's like, I love Elizabeth Moss. I'll be right back. So 3 hours later, she messages me and she's like, no, dude, finish the movie. It's so good. And so I did. It was just that one scene. I should have stopped being a baby, and they don't do it anymore with like the windows or anything. But it didn't scare me, but just like the absolute gaslighting that they do during that movie. And it's nothing that anyone could help. It was just, I think the power of abuse was really scary. Yeah.
Like three different movies, because the first one, like the first part of it feels like a ghost story.
Uh-huh.
And then the second part of it is definitely like, yeah, like psychological thriller. Like you're like, I don't know what is real. Is she crazy? Is everyone crazy? And then the last section is like an action packed, like
in sci-fi. Very sci-fi.
Yes.
So I was like, okay, all right. So it didn't really scare me, but I definitely enjoyed it. It was an enjoyable watch. And I would give that one like 85 critical potatoes. That Luke, Oliver Jackson Cohen plays the abusive ex-boyfriend. He's got literally maybe 6 minutes of screen time, but he was the one in the green screen suit throwing Elizabeth Moss around too. So I guess he was in it the whole time, just not.
But invisible.
Yeah. It's an Invisible Man.
The only Invisible Man I know is the one that Kevin Bacon played.
That was the best one.
I've never seen it.
That's Hollow Man.
Hollow Man. Oh, yeah, okay. Hollow Man.
I think I have seen that one. Anyway.
Kevin Bacon, Samuel Jackson. No, he's not in there. Never mind.
Wouldn't doubt
if he was in there.
Probably one of my all-time favorites is Rocky Horror Picture Show. It makes absolutely zero sense. It's not scary, but it's really, classic. Really weird. It is a classic. And like, we're currently hosting drag shows in the theme of Rocky Horror. And everybody gets real into it. They love the music, and I'm a big musical buff. Okay. So it just made sense to me. Drag queens, Halloween, music.
Perfect time.
Perfect. I give that one 100 critical potatoes. Like, it's so stupid, it's good. I can see why it flopped when it first came out, but I can also see why everybody loves it. Who doesn't love transgender aliens from transsexual Transylvania? Like, honestly. And then let me see.
Trans face.
Have you never seen it?
What?
Oh my
god. You never seen it?
Oh my god. Guys.
Transsexual.
Yeah, dude. Okay. Yep. And it's got Transylvania. Tim Curry in it.
I know it's got Tim Curry in it.
Honestly. Okay.
He is beautiful.
I've been looking
so
for
good.
It.
Sarah wanted me to dress be at that for Halloween one time.
Oh my god. I would die if you dressed up as Frankenfurter. Please do it. Wait, Frankenfurter or Rocky?
No,
because Rocky is super easy.
Frankenfurter.
Oh, please. Because
of my curly hair.
I even have
Speedo. For Rocky.
Yeah. I mean, I have fishnet tights if you need them. I would be happy to lend them to you. Anyway.
Please don't. Please don't. No. That's the last picture. Because
she wanted to be the one in the top hat. What's her name? Victoria or Veronica?
Oh, Columbia.
Columbia. That's what it is. Yes.
Columbia. How dare you give her a normal name? And then I guess I've been watching Hannibal. I finally finished the TV show Hannibal.
Oh my god, yes!
So good. So freaking good.
Exact same movie taste.
Let's be friends.
Okay, yes, please.
Do it.
Yeah.
So I give Hannibal 95 because the last season kind of dipped off a little bit, and I hope they revive it because...
I haven't watched the last season yet. I've just watched the first two, but
I had to restart it like 3 times because it was not.
It's hard.
My favorite, which I am apparently in the minority for this. So that led me to watching Silence of the Lambs. Also very, very good. Give that one 95. I mean, you just can't beat Anthony. Oh
Hopkins.
My God. Help me. Hopkins, thank you. And then I tried to... That one didn't scare me as much, but it was really good storytelling, especially since I don't like Jodie Foster. And then I watched Red Dragon. That one scared the shit out of me. I don't know. I think it was just one jump scare, but it was late at night, and I had to turn it off because my ass could not handle it. So that one, from what I saw...
That's usually what happens when I eat really spicy hot wings.
Your ass falls off?
No, my ass can't handle it.
I'm ashamed. Red Dragon, I would give a solid 80 with room to improve because I still haven't finished it. But anyway.
This is firing back and clapping back for the Lord of the Rings, Star Trek, and Star Wars references.
Oh, I can,
quote references.
I can go harder if you want.
I can go harder.
So anyway, my list is a lot longer than that, but I feel like I've gone too long. But those are the ones that I wanted to highlight, and almost all of them are good. So anyway, Garrett, your turn.
All right. I'll round us up here. I finished Warrior Nun, and let me describe what this is a little better than the last time I described it. Warrior Nun is, you follow this girl named Ava. She was a quadriplegic. Yeah, quadriplegic.
Oh my God.
But she died. And what it is the warrior nun is they have a halo in their back, and they fight demons. And then you have it's called the Order of the Sword, I think is what it's called. And Order of the Sword, and they go out and hunt demons, and you kind of follow her story throughout, kind of accepting that has become the warrior nun. I thought it was pretty good.
What a weird name for a show.
Yeah.
What is it on?
It's on Netflix.
I'm intrigued.
It's on Netflix.
Now.
Season 2 has been greenlit for it too, so that's good. I liked it a lot. I thought it was pretty good. I give it an 85 critical potatoes, so definitely go give that a look.
Nice.
I've started a show called The Queen's Gambit, which is...
I love that show. Sorry.
Is it... Oh, wait, is it a TV show or is it
a
movie?
It's a TV show.
It's a mini series about chess.
Yeah, it's a limited series. It's on Netflix. It's set during the Cold War era. Orphan chess prodigy Beth Harmon struggles with addiction in a quest to become the greatest chess player in the world. That's the synopsis.
Also, that actress, yeah,
Anya Taylor-Joy. Yeah, she
so wonderful actress.
Yeah, she's Beth, and it's so interesting. Like it's an hour almost, and it's over an hour. I think each show is an hour or more. And it's just so awesome. It's,
yeah.
Have
you finished it?
I'm like on episode 3. So.
Oh, man. It gets so good. We finished it in 2 days.
Yeah. I've been watching it like one episode or so a night because it's like an hour or so. So, I mean, it's just. But it's really good. So far, what I've seen is 88 Critical Potatoes right now. And I'm on the third episode.
So first of all, going into it, I was like, a show about chess, really? And by the end of the show, Zach ended up watching it with me, my husband, and he came in late. He didn't see the first episode, and he was like, "You're watching a show about chess?" And I was like, "Dude, just you have to watch it with me. Honestly, it's so good." And by the end of it, we were like mind blown. We were just absolutely shocked at how good it no seriously like they cover the chess stuff, but it's like you're watching this really big like feel good sports movie, except there's drugs and alcohol, and
I guess I gotta make the chess nerds feel welcome somewhere.
It was so good.
Like, I mean, I wish they did more of how she was planning stuff in her head, like kind of like almost like Sherlock Holmes kind of thing. I bet that would have been really cool. But I think that's really cool because, like, so she has this drug addiction problem because when she was a kid in an orphan, when she was an orphanage, they would give her this drug to, like, kind of mellow them out. And
tranquilize.
And so she got hooked on them, but they made her focus. And so it's really interesting. She kind of battles that, too. Practically.
Yeah. So trust me, it's.
I highly recommend it. It's a Netflix original series, so definitely get it. Definitely go watch it for sure.
I add to that, and I give that one 100 Critical Potatoes.
Yeah, I haven't finished it, so.
I'm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I. Yeah. Finish it. It's so good.
Sarah and I, we watched The Addams Family because she has never seen it before. The live action Addams Family.
The one with Angelica Houston or Huston or however you say her name?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I give that
an
82 Critical Potatoes because it's a classic. I mean, it's good.
You can put your
it's so ridiculous. It's very it's quotable. So ridiculous, but it's a classic for sure. Sarah and I tried watching the TV show Ratchet. Has anyone tried watching that at all?
I've watched it. I hate Ryan Murphy shows. Ryan Murphy shows. Can't watch Glee. Can't watch The Politician. Can't watch American Horror Story. It's all unwatchable to me. And I not only watched, completed, but I also enjoyed Ratchet.
And Sarah and I tried watching it. We watched like 2 episodes in. I just couldn't get, maybe if I watched more of it, maybe, but I might be a,
it gets better.
It might be something that I have to watch by myself, probably, because Sarah's pretty picky on what she watches. But I gave it a 70 Critical Potato because I've only seen 2 episodes, and it's kind of slow moving. It's an interesting premise, but I think isn't it based off of the nurse of the Angel of Death or whatever, the nurse that would kill all her patients.
Okay, so going back to Ratched, I don't like Ryan Murphy shows, period. I've never been able to finish an episode, let alone a season of something. I enjoyed Ratched. I probably wouldn't watch it again, but it was cool that they gave Ratched a backstory rather than her just being this malicious nurse from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. They left it with a cliffhanger, but if they don't renew it for a second season, then it wouldn't be the end of the world. Because honestly, I don't know if I would watch a second season because there's no way that Ryan Murphy can do something watchable twice. So
Yeah. I don't know. I think the thing I didn't like about it is very predictable. Like, I was able to figure out that she was his brother by before they even shown it. You know,
but do you know, Do you know their backstory yet?
Not because I only went two episodes in, so not 100. I really don't know much of it. But it just seemed like it was one of those shows where you can predict what's going to happen.
Their backstory is unpredictable. I am pretty good at figuring out Ryan Murphy's tropes, and that was not one of them. So if you can't watch it with Sarah, definitely try and watch it. It does have a little bit of that Ryan Murphy, like, overly dramatic feel to it. I don't know how to describe it, but if I can finish it, a self-proclaimed Ryan Murphy hater, then I think you can finish it too.
Okay, I might have to watch some more of it.
It looks interesting. It's
very cinematically, like, it's really good that way. Like the way they, because I noticed on the two episodes I watched, like certain times they'll like change the lighting of the whole room, depending on how the mood is or something like that. You know, so cinematically it's like, yeah, really good. But I may just gotta get more in the story.
Yeah, Sarah Paulson just shines in this show. She needs to be the only actress in any of Ryan Murphy's shows ever from now on. Because she's the only one with any actual talent. Sorry, going on. But it was really good. I liked it. I would probably agree with your 70 critical potatoes.
Okay.
For the whole show. It's watchable, maybe not rewatchable.
Yeah.
But anyway, moving on from Ratched.
Then I watched Sleepy Hollow with Johnny Depp. Classic Johnny Depp movie.
So good.
That's a good one. That's a good, beautiful.
It is gory as all get out because it's directed by Steven Spielberg, I think. Yeah.
It's a safe word.
So it's like a very overdone gore, just like a... I can't remember his name at the moment. Trenton, your favorite director.
Quentin Tarantino.
I couldn't remember his name. So I give that an 80 critical potatoes. Solid movie there.
Wait, you're talking about Sleepy Hollow with Johnny Depp and Christina Ricci?
Yes.
Is that how you say her name?
Christina Ricci. I think so. It's Tim
Burton. That's what. Yeah.
Is the director?
Yeah, I said Tim. I said Tim Burton, didn't I?
Because he's all like creepy and weird.
I thought he was just the producer. I didn't know he was the director.
Yeah. I mean, IMDb says director.
Well, Tim Burton always takes Johnny Depp. So,
well, I mean, Tim Burton won Johnny Depp in the divorce. Yeah, so,
true. And then Sarah and I watched Logan, which is probably like one of the greatest like X-Men movies out there. I give that a 95 critical potatoes.
Nice.
Get to see old Patrick Stewart.
And
Hugh Jackman.
Is he shirtless a lot?
Not in Logan. Yeah, really? Not in Logan. Not really at all.
No.
Logan's with the one with the kids, yeah, right? When he's like...
It's when he's a little older. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that 95 critical potatoes for sure.
Gray in the beard and everything.
Oh, yes. Sorry, I love Hugh Jackman. It's a problem. Moving on. Ugh,
what a beauty.
Right?
All right. We could have honestly made that our main topic, Garrett.
I mean, it was all scary movies technically, so we'll kind of like revamp a little bit or rehash some of that stuff, but
I've actually started a new book now that we're rolling into podcasts, comics, and streamers. I have started reading Animal Farm by George Orwell.
Oh shit.
Do you like that?
I do. I haven't read it since like 7th grade.
Did you finish the Songbirds? The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes?
Yes, I did. And it was, I cannot wait until they make that into a movie. When they make the Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes into a movie, I hope they've got a good actor for Cornelius Snow, because that turn that he does towards the end of the book is, oh,
chef's kiss.
Bree, are you a big Hunger Games fan? Like, have you read the books?
Me?
And stuff?
Oh, love them. Actually, I love the movies. I still watch the movies a lot. They're really enjoyable.
Have you read The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes?
I haven't.
Yeah, I recommend it. Like, I'm about three quarters of the way through right now. It's really good.
It's set in the 10th Hunger Games.
Yeah, and you follow the life of Cornelius Snow.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Like a little prequel.
Yeah, it's young Cornelius Snow and his rise to power.
Very cool.
It is great. I pre-ordered it, and it downloaded automatically the day that it came out on the Kindle, and I was like, sorry, babe, I know this is yours, but this is mine now.
I really enjoy the Hunger Games, so I should definitely take that, listen, or read that.
129%.
Yeah.
It's just about as good as Catching Fire, honestly.
Oh, and Catching Fire is the best one. Mm-hmm. That clock situation was so cool.
I was going to say, can we not? Because, like, the movies ruined Catching Fire for me.
We'll just veer from that. Yeah,
like,
sure.
They skipped out on
all of the details.
One that needed to be in there. And that was the pocket watch that I was
so excited
to see. Yeah. And they didn't put it in there.
Oh, man.
I screamed in the theaters when they didn't show the pocket watch. I was like, are you serious right now?
It's the whole reason she figures it out.
I know. And I really wanted to see like the hologram fight or Mockingjay.
Maybe I'm getting confused from reading the books and watching the movie because I haven't seen the movie in a while. But didn't they actually have a pocket watch, but they didn't give her? Because he pulled out a pocket watch or something with the Mockingjay emblem on it, didn't he?
In
the movie, I thought he did.
In the books, for sure. I don't know.
Sometimes I get confused from the book and the movie, and I put them two together, kind of thing.
And you're like, I can imagine what it would look like if it was in the movie, so it happened in the movie.
Pretty much.
The last two movies from the Harry Potter series were banking on, the Die Hard book.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, by the way, Remus and I have news to tell you, but we're never going to bring it up again, ever. And then suddenly they have a child. Moving on. It's fine. Yeah.
Well, they didn't even show it, the child, really, in the movie.
No, they didn't. No, it's that. If we're going to talk about Harry Potter,
that's going to have to be a whole, that'd be a whole section.
Yeah.
Whole nother podcast.
I'm going to have to just skip over this one.
Harry Potter fan.
Yeah. We're best friends now.
Who's not? But I went to Harry Potter World for the first time 3 years ago. And there's a video of me on Facebook crying when I enter it because I was so just taken away by it all.
Stop laughing at me. I was supposed to go to first Disney. And then the day we paid off our Disney trip, they closed. And then we said, you know what? No big deal. We'll go ahead and just go to the wonderful Wizarding World of Harry Potter. Once we got our refund back, we paid that off. And then they hit 15,000 COVID cases in Florida. And I was like, you know what?
But aren't you also sort of glad you didn't go because you didn't have COVID? So
Yeah. I just went to Dollywood for a business trip. Actually, it was the fun part. And it was not busy at all, and it's also a better Silver Dollar City. Sorry, moving on.
Wow, shade.
I'm just saying, Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge is better Branson too.
I don't know if you can get better Silver Dollar City, and I'm not even gonna.
We'll talk about that on a different podcast.
I think Melissa just needs to join the podcast.
I think it's just because childhood memories. One of my first jobs.
We will talk about it later. But anyway, so moving on, at Dollywood, it was not that busy, but they're not as well known as Disney and Universal. So I was like, okay, if they are quote unquote busy and this is not busy for them, I can't imagine what Disney and Universal looks like. So I made the right choice by not going. And even being at Dollywood, I was like, a ball of anxiety the whole time, but we're getting off topic again. They do Halloween right, though, by the way. Just saying. So good. Where were we going with this? Oh, Harry Potter World. Yeah, I didn't get to go, and now my heart is broken, so I'm glad you had a really good time. But
I bawled out because I was so blown away by how beautiful it was. It is pure magic.
I can't talk.
But anyway, scary movies. Funny enough story. Up until the age of 12, the first Harry Potter film terrified me. Like the scene where Voldemort is floating in the woods, that is the earliest really terrified memory I have is watching that movie.
Oh my gosh.
Which is sort of sad because it's a little child's movie, but that's fine.
Oh man. I bet that would have scared me.
Oh, speaking of Harry Potter, Ashley wants to go as Hermione for Halloween.
I knew I loved that girl for a reason.
Ashley's my oldest daughter, Brie.
And Garrett and I get to fight for custody of them, all of the girls.
Just her.
Whenever we off Tiffany and Trent.
Oof.
So.
You have to off him first, though.
Well, yeah.
Is that why my engine exploded? I had two or three kids.
I put sugar in it.
That makes so much sense now.
You're supposed to put sugar in, not salt, Melissa. Come on.
Yep. Well, now we have to postpone the legal proceedings. Call your lawyer. Okay, so where were
we? Movie and TV news, Trenton.
We're talking about books. Book recommendations.
Oh, yeah. Animal Farm. You liked it.
I did. I do. I'm currently rereading it because I don't remember anything about it. But, you know, basically the animals want to rise and, like, rise over their human oppressors.
Oh, absolutely not.
It's like Karl Marx.
Have you seen Zoo?
Yeah.
Story.
It's all about like
Zoo.
It's all about like communism and stuff like that, and how a revolt. And it's basically what happened in Cuba with Castro. You know, it sounded like a great idea, and then there was an oppressor, and nobody liked it. And you know,
well, now I'm gonna.
It's real fucked up.
It's nice. It's definitely it's Orwell. You know, Orwell does a good job at books.
George Orwell, yeah.
And then. I'm
and then the movie for Animal Farm, if the book wasn't scary enough, the movie is absolutely terrifying because there's like animatronic animals like talking and it's awful.
Well, noted. I'm going to have to watch it / read it because I need something else anyway.
It's a small book.
So. It's a small book?
Yeah.
Well,
relatively small.
Have you guys seen the movie or the TV show Zoo? So what it's about is that there's this disease that has infected all of the animals to where they no longer fear humans. Because really, if you think about it, we, like, as far as animals, as like us in the animal kingdom, we are very weak. We have no claws, nothing. The only reason why we're above everything is because of our able to reason and to, like, communicate with each other. Yes.
Intelligence.
And so they no longer fear us, and they'll actually hunt. Like they're hunting down humans and things like that. They're like being out of the ordinary things, like dogs, like, you know, our dogs, our pets are attacking people. They're doing.
Oh my
yeah.
God. Oh
and,
no, I don't like
and it's,
that.
It's really interesting. It's really interesting. Like look it up. I mean, it's on Amazon Prime, I think.
Okay.
But it's really interesting. For one, the CGI on it's a little spotty, but I liked it. I watched, I don't know how, it was like 3 or 4 seasons worth, and I watched all of them. So.
Oh, it's a
yeah,
show?
It's a TV show.
Oh.
It's like Dark Zootopia is what it sounds like.
Oh, no. My kid's going to become obsessed with it and make me watch it 600
no, it's
times
not,
a day.
It's like a teen adult show.
Your kid doesn't come up for.
All right, Trans, let's go on here.
Because that's all I think about when I think of Zootopia. I was like, this movie was made for furries.
Jackson would never.
Oh, your kids are pretty weird.
My kids are great.
Yeah, so are
sort
mine.
Sort of. Mine escaped out of a window again, but it's fine. This is not uncommon, Brie. This happens a lot. He's the worst. We love him, but
sounds like Jane and Sophia.
Anyway.
Worse, but we love them. Go to our Facebook page for all of the new movie and TV trailers and also game trailers as well. Also on our Facebook page is where I stream to, and that is another way that you can help support this local podcast by throwing stars my way. I've been playing a lot of Facebook. Oh, yeah. So I met a stars goal, and I extended the goal several times.
You get to wax them, don't you?
I do.
Yes, Melissa gets to wax me and do all of her.
Oh my lord!
Yeah,
them in those fishnet stockings.
That was not a part of the deal.
What a dream! Vocal, can you come down and help me plan this? I love her.
It's gonna be gorgeous.
Don't. Okay. Anyway, so you met your star's goal.
Yes.
Throw more stars at him, guys. I want to be able to wax more off of him.
I would like to get a chair.
A
better chair. That's the whole reason why I do the stars goal.
Ugh,
it took like 3 months for me to get to this stars goal.
but it was worth it. And I promised Melissa that she could do this. So, God, I hate this.
It's going to be great.
My first Stars goal was letting the girls put makeup on me on stream. And so I will be going live. I don't know when we're going to do this, but we will be going live in her studio where she will most likely wax my arms, most likely my armpit, not the beard. Maybe my eyebrows.
I've already done your eyebrows. That doesn't...
It's not as exciting. Not
fun. What about your back? Does your back have any hair on it? No, it's... Frick. Okay, armpits. We're doing armpits.
Because, like... No.
Subscribe to this channel if you want to see me wax Trenton's armpits. Like this if you want me to wax Trenton's armpits. Comment on this if you want me to...
This isn't going to Facebook.
I don't care.
I mean, we could always go live on Facebook and I can bring you up and be like, hey, this is what's going on.
Yeah. I'm really good in front of the camera.
I can tell. I'm not letting you wax these legs, so.
Unfortunate.
I mean, that's
okay. Armpits will hurt more.
But you said, I know a way to do this to her. Cause like I shared an armpit like waxing video and like, oh, that's horrendous. Mine's not going to be that painful.
No. Her application was horrendous, therefore making it unnecessarily painful. When I do it, it will still be plenty painful. It just won't put you at risk of infection or broken hairs or lifted skin.
I don't know if I'm liking it.
I think he's regretting his choices now.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I regret a lot of my life choices.
It's fine. Okay. Where are we at? Are we done talking about waxing your armpits?
Yes.
I think we're done talking about his armpits for a while.
Damn. Okay.
Oh, man. I'm nervous. Hey, Bree, you've got some books on here.
Yes. So I have read the first book of the Mistborn series, The Final Empire, and it is amazing. Brian Sanderson, so good, author. I'm really excited to listen to the rest of the series. I've been really impressed. My boyfriend is the one who suggested them to me. He used to hate fantasy and then just recently started getting into fantasy by reading that book. And I was like, very interesting. So...
That sounds like something Tiffany would like. Mm-hmm. The Mistborn series. She likes fantasy, doesn't she?
Yes.
Yeah. If she's not already read it, I swear she reads everything.
You need to, if you like fantasy, the Morcrath saga, I recommend that.
Literally.
Morcrath. It's about like this kid. He's like in a normal world like us. And then he goes into his job interview and he falls into a world where magic exists. And he's able to like kind of figure out how to do magic because he does a lot of role playing games.
Oh, and so fun!
He goes on.
So it's like an adult Onward.
Adult what?
Onward.
Yeah, in a way.
The new.
Yeah, movie? A little bit. Sorry. No, I've seen Onward. Yeah, well, Onward's awesome.
It's a good movie.
I really recommend the Star of Warcraft saga.
I think I've heard of that one.
It's like seven books.
Mistborn is really cool. I'm a really big fan of high fantasy books. So anything that's like within its own world. And the magic system that they use in this is really cool because it's like they burn metals is how they do different kinds of magic. And it's so well done in his action. Because action is really, really hard to write in books. And he does a really, really good job with writing the like fight sequences.
Yeah,
the way
they do magic in the Morcrath saga is that like... Depending on how tough the spell is like how much like it drains your energy, your body. And so like if you do too strong of a spell that you're not used to, you can completely just like faint or die. So it's really, I think that was really cool too.
That's so cool. Sort of like spell slots in D&D.
Nerds. Just kidding.
Yeah, baby.
That's like, adjust my glasses. Garrett over there with his fake glasses. Want to look cool.
Are you wearing fake glasses,
Garrett?
Yeah, I feel
like wanting to wear glasses. I don't know why.
Wait, Garrett, I thought that was Clark Kent.
I've been thinking about getting the blue light glasses because I stare at a screen for like 8 hours a day because I'm a teletherapist and I think it's going to have to be worth it.
Yeah.
All right, Melissa, do you have any books that you want to discuss?
So actually this year, I finally bought The Haunting of Hill House because I wanted to see the comparison between the movie and the show, or the, sorry, the show and the movie, I guess, which is straight up garbage.
That's what I've heard.
Zero critical potatoes, absolutely none. They starve in the famine for creating such a piece of trash. Steven Spielberg directed it and was so embarrassed by it that he took his name off of it. Anyway, we're not talking about that. It's that bad. And it's got some great people. So I read The Haunting of Hill House. It is very different. The hills do not exist. The reason it is called Hill House is because it is nestled at the bottom of the hills instead of the top, like most houses are. It was owned by the Sandersons, no relation to the Sanderson sisters. And that's where Luke came from. He was supposed to inherit the house. And so he was there to help with this paranormal sleep study. Nell was Eleanor Vance to begin with. Vance was her maiden name. She does, you know, her and Luke are not twins. Theo is one of the characters, but, you know, also not a sibling. Shirley doesn't exist. Shirley was an homage to the author, Shirley Jackson. And Stephen doesn't exist either. The Dudleys do exist. They are not these kind, sweet Christian people. They're very creepy and lock you inside the gate when they leave every day. Yikes. Yeah. So, a lot of it was the same. A lot of the like beautiful one-liners that they have in the show were pulled directly from the book.
That's awesome. I love that kind of stuff.
So while the book was an enjoyable read, I definitely preferred the show, and I don't know if it's because I watched the show first, but I feel like they gave it a little bit more life, a little bit more explanation as to why the house was the way it was, whereas they did not do that at all with the book. I think it was just a product of the times, although for it being written in like the late 50s, early 60s, I can't remember, and I'm probably way off. You know, they made Theo bi.
Wow.
Shirley Jackson made Theo bi, and she doesn't explicitly say it, but it's heavily implied. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, that's cool that they kept that the same and then the show too.
Yeah. I thought that was really neat. And then, so moving on from Hill House, I have always been an avid Nancy Drew fan since childhood. I found my very, very, very first Nancy Drew book that was ever given to me, and I started reading it again. It was Nancy Drew and the, and of course I'm going to blank on it right now. The something about a doll. It's about a bunch of puppets.
Creepy.
She goes to this theater, house on the premises, and this mystery starts. And she sees this dancing ballerina doll in the night, in the moonlight. And somehow that didn't scare me, but a Boxcar Children's book did. Don't understand it. It's fine. But I really love that series. And I always have. It's always been one of my go-to series when I'm down. So rereading Nancy Drew has been like, aww.
Child heartwarming.
Yeah. As for podcasts, I actually listen to the AfterBuzz TV podcast on The Haunting of Hill House. They use the word haunting a lot. And it's not to describe the show or the show's title, but to like describe the show. It's like, yes, we get it. You get the premise of the show. But overall, it was pretty enjoyable. It's an, I think, a BuzzFeed podcast, which take that as you will. And then another one I watch is Pop Culture Therapist, or listen to.
I've heard of that.
It's pretty good. They kind of dissected everything from Hill House and a bunch of other movies from the point of view of a therapist. And they did a really great job. There was another podcast I had listened to from the point of view of a mortician. So, yeah, they were like, okay, so we were really into all of Shirley's, like, autopsy scenes and the embalming and stuff. And she was like, it's actually pretty accurate. And then it turns out that the assistant from Hill House was an actual mortician. She was there.
Oh, very cool. So they could like use her for like reference and stuff.
Yeah. So they were almost spot on. And same with the therapy to a point. They were pretty pleased with it. So it's really fun to kind of get like the professional aspect, the professional opinions of the shows. And I want to start listening to Pop Culture Therapists a little bit more because I think they have an episode on Shutter Island, and that is one of my favorite movies of all time. So
that's a good one.
Yeah, I was going to mention that, but that's another one that would take 25 years to get through.
25 years to get through. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm done. That's my list.
All right.
Did Garrett do his?
I think so.
Okay.
So our...
That's the main topic?
Favorite scary for Halloween.
We're going to be here for another 3 hours.
And started the main topic?
Yeah.
Shit.
Well, we technically kind of did because you've gone through, like, a lot of the movies we've been talking about have been scary movies. You know, so the list that I've been writing in here was just some of the stuff that I liked. But, or hated.
Sorry, I'm looking at your worst scary movie.
I know what it's called. It's called The Shining, but for some reason my dumbass brain thought that said The Shining.
Shining. It's a whole bunch of people in the shins.
That was a spoiler, but that just cracks me up.
Yeah, that was funny.
But I do agree with your scariest movie ever watched.
Oh, by the way, for more TV news, The Mandalorian Season 2 comes out on October 30th.
By the time this podcast comes out, it has already came out. But yes, if you have not gone watch it, go
is
watch
that
it.
Another.
All right, let's get on to the topic here, which we've kind of already, like I said, we've already talked about a little bit. Some of our favorite scary movie, horror or Halloween movies like to watch during the spooky season.
Oh, Young Frankenstein.
Frankenstein. That's one of my all-time favorites I like to watch.
Have you heard the musical?
Uh-uh.
There's a Broadway musical.
Really?
Of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 10 out of 10. Even Zach really enjoyed it.
Wait, is that the one with...
Gene Wilder?
Wait, the musicals?
No.
Oh. I was talking about... oh, my God. What's his name?
The dad from Everyone Loves Raymond?
No. He's in Baywatch.
David Hasselhoff?
Yeah.
No!
Hasselhoff was in a Broadway musical that was like one of the most great play at Broadway.
Oh, we don't talk about it then. Ugh.
How do we not like Hasselhoff?
Because we don't have enough time for that either.
He's loved in Germany.
Yeah, that's the only place he's loved.
Wow, I love Hasselhoff.
That's hilarious.
Knight Rider?
What?
Knight Rider.
Is that a book? Anyway, yes, Young Frankenstein definitely belongs on this list, and I highly recommend the Broadway musical.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. So. Hocus Pocus is now one of my favorites.
Basically what
it
is now.
What?
Hocus Pocus is one of my other favorites I like to watch during the Halloween season.
They're coming out.
I know.
I saw the
poster for it.
I haven't seen
That's all I've seen about it.
About it.
They did a whole like get together announcement.
It's a critically awesome crown of stars.
Oh my god.
It's what I
know I'm gonna get a lot of hate for this, but I'm not a big fan of Hocus Pocus. I really liked it the first like when it had like a resurgence, I was like, oh yeah, this is awesome. And then literally for the next like 4 years of college, that's the only thing people would watch all throughout October. And I went to like 4 different Halloween like parties and I'm like, okay, I'm a little done with this. a little over it, but
I had a boyfriend that was the same way. He understood why everybody loved it, but his ex-girlfriend, not me, made him watch it so often that if I mentioned Hocus Pocus, he would rage so bad.
Honestly, the best part of Hocus Pocus was Sarah Jessica Parker.
Truly.
Oh, yeah.
Now I can hear.
Nobody was talking. That's why. That's why you couldn't hear anything. Nobody was talking.
Oh, I thought I heard something come out of yours, and then
Nope, nope.
No, yeah, like Hocus Pocus is one of those things like I watch like once during the Halloween season. So it's like it's a Halloween movie. I watch it, and then it's done for the next year.
I would.
And I mean, I get why it's really good, like why other people love it. It's good. I just
I've watched it so many times. I just, it's one of those things where I just kind of.
So it's kind of like A Christmas Story for me. Like,
oh God. Yeah.
I love The Christmas Story. It is my, the movie I have to watch on Christmas at least one time. Now, oh. When I was growing up, we would watch it on TBS because it was a 24 hours of A Christmas Story.
That's yeah. right.
And we would watch it all the time.
I can't watch it now.
I'm sorry for you. I still love that movie. I would still watch that movie. And then, but it's not the best. Well, that's another podcast.
Let's do Christmas. Okay.
And then another one of my, I think ones that I really liked was The Forest. Has anyone seen that?
Is that the one with Natalie yes. Dormer in it? Where she has to go yeah, to the suicide
her,
forest in Japan?
It's her twin. So, yeah, she has a twin. Shit. And yeah. she has to go to the suicide forest that's in the base at Mount Fuji in Japan. And
doesn't the twin sister like go yeah, camping no, she, or
she,
something?
She, so the whole thing is like she feels like something's like going on with her sister. So she tries to get in contact with her, finds out that she actually goes into the forest. And usually you go into the forest is either you're thinking about suicide or you're going to do it. And mm-hmm. and so and no, they don't rescue. They don't go to rescue them or anything like that. They just let them do whatever they got to do to what they need to find out.
Yep.
And so but the whole thing is like it. There's a really dark past in these girls' lives. And you kind of starts to reveal itself as she goes into the forest. And it's probably like one of the best like storyline scary movies I've seen in a long time. Like movie wise, like because most which Triton will probably agree because he's not really much of a scary or horror film person, that a lot of most recent movies have where they're very predictable. They're the same movies over and over again, especially when they make like the 25th Halloween movie. In 25 years. So, you know, it's I highly recommend that one. That's probably like one of my favorite ones that's been out in the past like 5 to 10 years that has come out.
It was really good. I enjoyed it. That was one of the movies I watched on my quest to be less of a
wimp.
Of a pussy. Yeah.
My next scary movie is going to be Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. I didn't realize that they made that into a movie.
You didn't?
I didn't.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard it was really good.
But from what I've seen, it looks creepy as hell. On the
man, I haven't even heard of these movies.
Yeah, well, do you remember the book from when we were kids? The book that had like that creepy ass clown with like a pipe sticking out of his mouth. Scary Stories.
No, that would have terrified me. I would not have slept for 3 nights if even if I had just looked at the cover of that.
It's but the movie poster is the cover of the book. And, like, I saw that on Amazon Prime, and I'm like, okay, let's revisit my childhood a little bit. But after seeing that, they use a lot of practical effects and not CGI for a lot of the monsters' costumes. And it's, like, just by what I saw from, like, behind-the-scenes stuff, I'm like, oh, that's creepy. I don't know if I like that or not.
And, of course, Melissa.
Is it on streaming?
Amazon.
Shit. Okay.
Said, of course, what's Melissa that? Talked about the Rocky Horror Picture Show. That's always a good, good one so to good. Watch during the Halloween season. And then another one I liked, which is a twofer, because you can watch it for Halloween and Christmas. Nightmare Before Christmas.
We so watched it literally beginning of October until Christmas. Like, we'll probably watch it maybe 2 or 3 times a week. One, Jackson, my 4-year-old, loves it. He's the kid that likes to go into Spirit of Halloween and get scared on purpose. so the fact that he loves Nightmare Before Christmas is not shocking, but it is draining because it is one of my favorite movies and I don't want to hate it.
And it's slightly a musical. It, so. I mean, I'm actually, do they even have a musical of this? I'm surprised they wouldn't. I mean, that they haven't had one yet of...
It would be
I don't think they do.
To translate. I mean, they just got Beetlejuice on stage. That one is Tim Burton movies are hard to conceptualize in real life. So, I mean, I think the fact that they started with Beetlejuice, which is a surprisingly excellent musical.
I hated that movie as a kid. hated it. Could not handle it. I don't think I could handle watching it now. Like,
I mean, Michael Keaton, come on.
Our friendship is dwindling.
No. Listen,
such
if you're
character development in this podcast alone.
If you like musicals and you could somewhat tolerate Beetlejuice, I highly recommend it. It's not.
I'm a huge
exactly...
musical nerd, so.
God, okay, we're best friends again.
Okay, we're back. Okay, we're good.
Bree, I'm kind of with you. I'm not the biggest fan of Beetlejuice. I just thought that it's repulsive and not the best.
Oh, but the musical is incredible.
I don't know. Oh my God. Michael Keaton was like the right amount of repulsive for that movie. And I saw the dude who was playing him. I'm like,
it's so good. It's just, trust me, I've never steered you wrong before.
That's not entirely true.
Anyway, moving on before I gut punch
so
this
my
man.
My other one is...
The lightsabers in Star Trek.
My other one is Split. James McAvoy.
Never
yeah, James
heard of
McAvoy
that.
And Anna Taylor Joy is in there too.
Are you kidding me?
Anya Taylor Joy? I have to watch this now.
Okay, I've been putting off watching it, but I loved
her
in The Queen's Gambit.
Split is like it's kind of a trilogy movie, but not really. It's M. Night Shyamalan.
Shyamalan
Ding Dong. I don't want to say it.
The guy who shot Ding Dong all over Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
We don't talk
but
about it.
There was a movie back in, the 80s with Bruce Willis, right? It was like Broken. I think
oh,
it's Unbroken,
it really?
And then it goes Split, and then Glass, or Glass, Split, then Unbroken.
Glass.
I think Glass was the one in the 80s, I think.
No, Glass
recent, right?
Has, you know what, never mind the word for it.
No,
I
Glass
have no
is
idea.
More recent.
Is it?
Yeah. So it had to be Unbroken.
Okay, I'm glad I haven't watched any of these, because I didn't realize
they're
all
they're kind
in,
of in
like,
a series,
a
yes, but you don't have to watch. They just kind of, have things that you reference. But Split, I recommend. James McAvoy plays a character that has 23 different personalities, and it's amazing.
So
it's amazing.
Creepy.
Like, it's crazy. And Anna Taylor. Yeah, she's in there. Definitely give that a watch if you haven't seen it.
I love her. Emma, the new Emma movie she's in is so good. I just recently watched The Witch, which she's in. So good.
I've seen that one. I saw it in theaters.
The New Mutants, which just
I
came
saw
out
The Witch.
In
I saw
theaters?
The Witch in theaters, and I haven't seen it since then. But I thought it was kind of odd. Like it.
It's very odd. It's very artistic. It's very a lot of the storyline is throwback or references to old
yeah,
witch
and,
tales. Because whenever I first watched it, I was like, okay, I don't really get a lot of the symbolism in it, but I researched it because it's one of the episodes we did for our podcast, and it's a lot of old symbolism with witches and the witch trials and all the old folklore, and they pack in so much.
And
into that
maybe
movie.
I didn't like it that much because it's also in that kind of old English vernacular, and so it's it's
could
really
not
hard
understand
to follow. It's like might as well be listening to Shakespeare, is what it is really.
Yeah,
my
and the really thick accents.
That's a whole other podcast.
So good, though.
My favorite.
I love her.
Any,
so very excited.
Any other
I'm
favorite
have to definitely watch
ones
Split.
That you guys have that I haven't mentioned or we haven't mentioned in this podcast yet?
I don't watch scary movies, so.
the new Addams Family, the animated one, it doesn't quite have the heart of the old Addams Family movies. It was still enjoyable to watch, and it was kind of fun to watch my 4-year-old fall in love with the Addams Family. Because I always felt like the older movies were a little bit too maybe mature for him to watch. So
I could definitely see that.
The animated one was super cute.
Gomez and Morticia just completely eye banging each other the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell they're still very much in love, but they aren't.
It's not quite as creepy.
They're not eye banging each other. Gomez isn't suffocating himself in her arm or whatever. It's still very much got the supportive, wholesome traits that the Addams Family has. And Jackson, I don't know what I did right with this kid. He freaking loves spooky stuff. He loves everything that the Addams Family.
He's gonna be a sociopath when he grows up. That's why.
I mean, he's a Talon, so yeah. Anyway,
it's in his blood.
Yeah, it's okay. We're fine. We're going through it. I think just watching him really enjoy it made me really enjoy it. But a lot of the reviews on it weren't that great, and I think it's just because, you know, we grew up with the overly sexual Gomez and Morticia. So, loved the new Addams Family.
We grew up with Christina Ricci as Wednesday
and Christopher so Lloyd as Fester.
Well, the fake.
No, he was Fester.
Did I finish the movie?
He actually was.
I may have fallen asleep at the end. Fester.
Yeah.
Do you need to go back and watch that movie, Hen?
I mean, yeah, I watched it. I watched the first half. No, I had to go run an errand.
Can we get a new Addams Family with Christina Ricci as
Morticia? Yes.
Have you seen her cosplay as Morticia?
First of all, yes. She's just really hot to begin with. So mm-hmm. we deserve more Christina. Oh, yeah. Sign the petition.
She needs to be in more. She needs to come back into the limelight. She's so good.
I lost track. We were talking about.
I got track on Christina Ricci. Right. Sorry.
Oh, Chloe Grace Moretz played Wednesday. Yeah. And Finn Wolfhard was Pugsley. So that little kid from Stranger Things and It, which I cannot watch. So.
Watch what?
It?
It what?
I'm going to kill you. Anyway, that's
very cool. My go-to Halloween movie was, I mean, Sleepy Hollow. I love Sleepy Hollow, so that was always a good one And then I think Haunting of Hill House is now going to be like a yearly, like, watch the whole series in October.
Yearly. So good. You'll get to the point where you're like, you know what, I think I just want to watch Hill House again, and then you'll start falling asleep to it, and it's no longer scary, but this beautiful story. I might be talking from experience. It's fine.
As Trent shakes his head no.
Oh, God, yeah.
Maybe the Bly Manor, but not to Hill House. Not to Hill House.
Really?
I could do the Bly Manor.
It's
mostly because the creepiest thing about Bly Manor is, like, the no faces.
The doll? The, like, in the wedding dress. I just watched that part of it, and that was
that
was definitely the scariest part.
Didn't think it was scary.
I thought it was creepy.
My sister was creepy did as too. Hell.
I saw that doll face. I'm like, oh no, we're not doing this.
The scariest part is the one jump scare in the black and white episode, and I will die on this hill. And I'm sorry, but I think it's just because I've watched. La, 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 I'm not spoiling it. I'm not saying it's just, you know, there's one jump scare in one episode, and I was not even.
So, like, before that episode, that is what scared me.
Oh, okay.
With the person with your hair color.
Oh, okay.
With the person with your hair. Way to be very discreet.
So,
well, I don't think you saw what I was doing, so, you know.
Oh, I didn't.
Either way.
One of the things in that show, and this is sort of going to lead into the next topic, is Mike Flanagan does a ton of, like, behind the, like, you'll have something on screen. And it'll be, like, creepy things happening in the background. Or, like, the first couple episodes, there's this person. I don't know who it is yet, but it's, like, this, like, shape in the background that's, like, in every scene. And that terrified me.
Bly Manor or Hill House?
Bly Manor.
Oh, okay.
In the first couple episodes, there's, like, I don't know. It's, like, a doctor face or something. It's, like, long and pointy.
The play. But, yeah.
One of the, and if you don't mind me jumping into the next topic, Garrett and Trent, but because the next thing you have is, like, the scariest thing you've ever seen, or, like, what movies have scared you the most. Mike Flanagan also did Oculus, which when Hillary and I were looking up our, like, horror podcast, we looked up all these, like, really, really popular horror films, and this never made it onto the list, which is crazy, but it is the scariest thing I have ever seen in my life.
That's another movie I can't bring myself to watch.
It's terrifying. It was so good.
The mirror from Oculus made it into Hill House.
Yes, yes, yes. The Lasser mirror is in a shot in Hill House.
Yep. I need to watch
Mike Flanagan. So well done. creepy things happening in the background. Oh, so good.
I'll watch Hush with you if you watch Hush.
I don't know what that is.
It's another Mike Flanagan film. Come on, man. Okay, get it together.
That's scary. It's a slasher film, so it's not that bad. If
his series transfers over to his movies, then I will be fine.
It's very good. He's very good. He's very consistent. Except in Hush. Blind Manor, anyway.
Yeah, Blind
Manor. Hush is not very like spooky. It's a slasher film, so it's like creepy serial killer guy. But like really, really cool to watch because like the main premise is that the girl is deaf. So she has all these things in her, which is why it's called Hush, is because she can't hear this like serial killer. But she has everything in her house that's like she has to go by like sight, and that's why there's a lot of like window stuff. Ooh. And but it's very like slasher. It's not creepy, like ghosty at all.
That's disappointing.
Well done.
It's more psychological.
Don't want something fucking with my brain.
So after Oculus, it says The Conjuring. I agree with that.
Yeah, it's
I've never seen it.
Oh my god, I watched it last year and I was sitting on my couch. My husband was playing video games and it got to the point where I had to make him stop playing and hold my hand while I was clutching the pillow and like hiding beneath it. And it doesn't have any jump scares. It doesn't really have like the main horror element is only in it for like, I want to say less than a minute or something. Like it does not have any screen time. It's just the psychological mind fuck of what you're experiencing.
That's how you know something's that scary. Yeah. It's like when it can have very, very little actual horror elements and still like freak you out.
And that's the only reason that movie even got an R rating was because it was that scary. There's not that much blood. There's not that much gore. There's not that much anything. Just psychological fuckery. And it's horrifying. I was like, no, I can't do this. And every time I would try and turn it off, my husband would be like, nope, go back. You're going to finish this.
I think when it comes to horror movies or scary movies, I think what makes it really scary is when there's a truth aspect to it. Like The Conjuring, yes. It's based off a true story. A lot of the ones that really are really good and that really get to me are ones that have a true aspect. Like it was either based off of someone or it actually happened in real life. You know, I mean, even like Chainsaw Massacre, it's not that scary, but the fact that it actually happened in our history is freaky, you know? I mean,
I don't know. The 1973 version of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, probably right under The Conjuring for me.
Damn. It was awful.
I'm not going to watch these.
That's like, wait, why did we do this? Why did we do this episode? Why are we talking about scary things?
Well, we got guests and, you know, it was Halloween time. So like, but like, I'm not a scary movie person. So I thought I was going to be super quiet. But when we start talking about the haunting series, I'm like, hey, I know that.
True. I knew
it's the series of the Karen, time
what,
right now.
Have you, what are some ones that have are your scariest movies that you've seen?
Oh, we've already talked about them. Don't watch
everything on the list we've already said.
Yeah. You guys, this is y'all's.
I remember forcing Tiffany to watch like White Noise. She took us to the movies for her birthday one year and we did One Missed Call, and then I made the One Missed Call ringtone my ringtone after That's the party me. And it scared everybody. Garrett, were you there for that? We all went to the movies.
I think I watched Paranormal Activity.
The first one freaked me out because I think when I watched, I was with Matt, and we were watching it around the same time that the crap happens, like around like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. So we were watching it the same time, like that stuff was happening, and it's one of those ones where just like each time something happens, it gives you goosebumps. You know, the Paranormal Activity is crazy.
I still haven't seen it. I need to add it to my list. I remember
it's on my list, and I'm like dreading the day that I have to watch that movie because I'm like, it's gonna be so bad.
I mean, it's creepy, yeah. But like the first one is definitely, of course, the better one.
And then like the other ones are just trying so hard to be that good. And I remember watching The Grudge too. Or The Ring. It was The Ring.
Oh, no. Okay. The Ring is by far probably one of the scariest movies I've ever seen.
Because like the one the chick crawls out of the TV, I'm like, nope, we're
absolutely
done here.
Absolutely not.
Now
Grudge
I just think
two.
About Scary Movie
no,
3
no,
or
no,
2. When this bitch is putting water on my carpet. It,
man, they're really trying to sell us some stuff, aren't they? But The Grudge 2, we went and saw it with a big group of friends from high school. Well, I guess it would be middle school at that point. Garrett, I can't remember if you were there or not, but probably. It was a big group of us. And it was so stupid that everybody laughed the whole time because it was so dumb. And it was just like nobody in the theater was scared. We were all laughing. And it wasn't just our group in there. It was a bunch of other people. And a bunch of people left halfway through and got refunds because it was so bad.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Did anyone else, anyway, the Grudge did anyone else see any of the Saw series at all?
Taylor used to make me watch those, and I have blocked them from my memory. I am not into gore.
Yeah, that's very gore porn for sure.
Yeah, it's awful.
I've like the first couple ones were really good. After that, like I didn't really watch into, we'll get into them that much. But the most creepiest part is like the pig head that they used to like get the people that used like a mask, and the mask was a pig head. You've seen it, Trenton. You played Dead by Daylight.
That's
yeah, it's from Saw.
That.
Yeah.
Is it really? Gross. I don't remember anything. Like, I literally have blocked all of Saw memories out.
Yeah, that's definitely horror porn. Anyway. How about worst scary movies?
I think we already said it.
The Grudge, too.
I know I have The Shining down here, so.
I have
The Shining.
I like The Shining, but I can see how...
Back then, you would dislike it. Probably was better, but it didn't age well, I don't think.
No, and Stanley Kubrick, I mean, we covered that he royally just screwed the pooch on it. It could have been so much better, and it wasn't. I think cinematically it was well done. Just the rest of
it
just
didn't make any sense to me. Like, it made sense why, like, okay, he's going crazy because he's isolated completely. Technically, I mean, but he has his wife and wife and his son, but it just didn't make any sense progression wise why he went from, you know, kind of an angry dad or whatever, angry, you know, husband dad to like, I'm going to kill them. It just didn't make any sense. And then
it did take like a large leap.
Watch Doctor Sleep.
What is it?
Doctor Sleep redeemed it. Definitely.
Yeah, it answers a lot of those questions. And I think that was just Mike Flanagan's like, hey, Stanley Kubrick totally messed this up. Let me fix
it. Or like the ending where he's frozen.
Shelley Duvall. I love that part. That's like a meme. I never knew what that was from until the end. I was like, oh my God, that's the best part of the movie. Shelley Duvall, who plays the mom, her acting with the like, when she's like throwing herself against the wall, she's like,
And the worst part was, with that, she was not acting. That was her actually scared. Stanley Kubrick literally just ruined her life for these shots, and it became so real that it looked unreal and just stupid.
Poor Shelley Duvall. She looked so ridiculous.
And
her clothes?
Woof.
Yeah. So bad. But I can agree. The Shining, not... I liked it, but I don't love it. Like, it's not a rewatch for me. Dr. Sleep redeems it. So watch Dr. Sleep. It's on HBO.
Yeah, there's a lot of scary movies that are really horrible too, but I can't name them. It's like one of those, it's like the bajillion, you know, Halloween movies or, you know, just stuff like movies that they keep remaking for no apparent reason. That
could be a whole other podcast there too, because I have a list of really stupid Halloween movies, or not Halloween, horror movies. But anyway, that's this. I think this is getting kind of long.
We're definitely a long-winded preacher going on here.
Sorry. Bye, guys.
All right. Well, for all things Critically Awesome, go ahead and visit our website, criticallyawesome.net. If you want to get a hold of us, you can email us at criticallyawesome2015@gmail.com. You can also follow us on all of our social medias on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Make sure you like and follow us there as well. Garrett, where can they hear us at?
For your listening pleasure, for your ear holes, you can listen to us at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and I think Amazon Music now, or anywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on your favorite podcasting app. When you do that, it helps other people find us.
We really, really want to thank our two guests and our one patron.
Thank you, ladies.
Do you have anything that you would like to plug before we say goodbye?
Yeah, I mean, keep a lookout. 2021, look out for Horror in Pink, at Horror in Pink on Twitter. We're going to drop those episodes sometime soon. Our goal was by Halloween this year, but we are not getting there. So 2021, be looking out for that. And yeah, you can follow that when you get there.
Melissa, what do you have to plug?
Well, mine is not horror related at all, but I am the president of Bring Broadway to Branson. We have Facebook, Instagram. We've got a Facebook group, and it's just Bring Broadway to Branson. We are currently hosting the Rocky Horror Picture Show drag queen tribute show that will be over by the time this releases, I think, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. However, we are in talks of doing a lot more of these because they've been pretty successful. So keep an ear out for Christmas drag shows. We're thinking Mean Girls themed with social distancing stickers that say you can't sit with us.
That's adorable.
You know, so, and then we may or may not have some big news coming up about our successes of bringing Broadway to Branson. I truly do not know if we have good news yet. We haven't been contacted. However, when I announce it, you will know, because I will probably announce it immediately. So just keep an ear out. That's all I got.
Yeah, you've made such leaps and bounds since the last time we talked about bringing Broadway to Branson the first time on our Patreon-only episode. And I can't tell you enough how proud I am of how much you have done in just that time span.
Oh, thanks.
So great job, Melissa.
Thank you.
Proud to call you my friend.
Amazing. That's so cool.
Thanks.
I know.
Huge Broadway nerd. Grew up going to Branson. Grew up in Springfield. Silver Dollar City. Beautiful. So.
I love that. We're friends now.
All right, Garrett, go ahead and give us a close out.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening. We hope you have enjoyed this lovely episode. And I'm Garrett. I'm Critically Awesome.
And I'm Trent. And I'm Critically Awesome. And remember, guys, stay safe and stay awesome. Bye.